As you can see, we've been talking for last week. We had a guest speaker, a friend of mine, come from out of town from Penn State College, and minister, Brother Mark Moore. But before that, we were talking about spiritual guidance. And if you would turn over to Romans, I think I had to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Spiritual guidance. How many of you have a desire to be led by the Spirit of God? It's possible to be led by the Spirit of God. We don't have to walk through this life clueless, ignorant, you know, and we can walk in this as believers in this world. We can walk in this realm, this natural realm, and have leadership from the Holy Spirit. Now, notice in verse 14, it says this. Paul said this by the Holy Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that's the Greek word where we get our English word, daddy. So that's talking about intimacy. And verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, or literally Himself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, notice in verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me just rephrase that so you can get a better grasp of what he's saying there. If you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, how many children of God do we have in here? If you're a child of God, you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's something happens. We talked about this bearing witness is because this is really the number one way that God leads all of His children. When the Lord Jesus Christ, as you read in that book back there, How to Be Led by the Spirit, how many had a chance to read through that so far? You know, I encourage you to do it. Don't let it collect dust. Get it and read it and get it down on the inside of you. In fact, that's the first book that I ever got a hold of from Him that literally changed my life. But Jesus, when Jesus appeared to him on one of his visitations, the Lord Himself, Jesus said, the number one way that I will lead all of my children is by the inward witness. Amen. That's the number one way. Now, of course, God can use the inward voice. That's more authoritative. The Lord can use an angel. The Lord can use other avenues. But the primary way, Jesus said, that I'll lead all my children is by the inward witness. And it's the same witness that you and I have that when you become a child of God. Now, I remember, I know myself better than anybody else, but when I made Jesus my Lord, I was May of Memorial Day of 1976 on a youth trip up at Jamonville where I got saved and someone shared the gospel with me. When I prayed, when I received the Lord, there was a witness, there was something peaceful that happened on the inside of me, the transition that I did. All I could say is I feel really good on the inside. So there was spirit that bore witness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? With that time, there's a place in your life that you came to that decision. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was years ago, you know. Well, see, that's the inward witness telling you you're a child of God. It's okay, all right? Now, we talked about how that there's two things about the will of God. First of all, there's the general will of God, which we talked about is the general will of God is found in Scripture. How do you know what God's will is? If you go to the Word of God, and you find Scripture that tells you what God's will is for your life. Case in point, how do you know it's God's will to save you? It's in the Word, right? Amen. Well, let's take it a step further. How do you know it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues? It's in the Word. Now, some people, you know, a lot of people are stacked on the revelation of it's God's will to save, and thank God for that. That's the most important thing. A lot of people stop right there, and they don't realize there's other wills of God in the Bible other than salvation of your sins, such as being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Say, well, I don't know whether it's God's will or not for me to be baptized with the Spirit. There are so many scriptures, so many supporting God's will for us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, Brother Keith, if it was God's will for me to be baptized with the Spirit, then wouldn't I just automatically be filled? No. Is someone automatically saved? No. They have to find out about it, and they have to act upon it. See, people can live and die on this earth and never walk in God's will. Do you know there's people in hell today, literally in hell, that died, went to hell, and walked away from the salvation plan because they thought it was stupid. They thought it was foolish. Yeah, right. Well, the Bible does say that the salvation is foolishness to the world. The plan of salvation is foolishness to them. But to us, it's the power of God. Yeah. Why? Because they're relying on what they can do. See, the world system, they're relying on all their good works, what they can do, what they can scrounge up, what they can do for other people, so they get the glory. And God says, I have nothing to do with that, because salvation doesn't come from your goody two works, okay? It doesn't come from you being so good. It comes from the blood of Jesus, accepting Him as your Lord and your Savior. So there's no boasting. So the general will of God is found in Scripture. Salvation, baptism of the Holy Ghost. How about divine healing? Do you know it's God's will to heal every believer? Amen. Did you know that? Yes. And I'll boldly proclaim it from the housetops. Well, brother, you don't know who I knew. This precious saint that I knew, she was believing God and she died. All right? Let's talk about that for a minute here. So, because a lot of people, they become shipwrecked in their faith because someone supposedly that believed God died. Well, first of all, where did they go? They went to heaven, right? How bad is that? Okay? If they had the choice to come back, they wouldn't want to come back, first off. All right? But see, here's the thing. We don't know what they really believed in their heart. Okay? So don't ever let someone else's experience shipwreck your faith. Don't ever let that happen. Because there are people sometimes that they miss the will of God. They do things and things happen. You don't know all the details behind that. And really, it's none of our business unless the Lord really showed us. Amen? But see, that doesn't do away with the plan of salvation as far as, you know, have you ever shared the gospel with someone and they rejected the plan of salvation? Am I the only one? Some walk, nah, I'm not interested in that. Okay? Well, that didn't stop me. If I had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone else down the road that something else that came up. Right? Because I'm stacked with the idea inside my heart that it's God's will to save the sinner. And just because someone rejects that plan doesn't mean I throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, so it is with divine healing. Okay? See, information has to be presented in such a way. Now, some people, because of their previous tradition and things like that, and see, a lot of times the Bible says the traditions of God or traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. Okay? And you know, the church world as a whole, for the most part, is so filled with this idea that, you know, God can heal and God does heal, but you're just not sure whether or not He'll heal you. Okay? If you ask the average person out there, can God heal a person? Yeah. Will He heal you? I don't know. Anybody can say it's God can heal, but I'm not so sure if He's going to do it to me. But when you get into the Word of the living God and you see what the Bible says regarding your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, you've been bought with a price. And the Bible says we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belong to God. When we see what the Word of God has to say, then we can be filled with confidence, hear me, confidence, thereby activating our faith so that when we go, we can say, that's mine, I have it now. See, I have a car like you do out in the parking lot right now. Okay? I have confidence that after the service, when I go out there and open the door and get in, I have absolute confidence that no one's going to stop me and say, hey, that's my car. I said, no, that's my car. You know what I'm talking about? There's just, you don't even think about it. It's just second nature. That's your vehicle. You go out there. You bought and paid for it. All right? Well, listen, someone else bought and paid for your healing. And you don't have to, you know, go out and try to earn it. Jesus paid the price for you. See, that's what grace is all about. Grace is what God did for us in Christ Jesus. Grace, as one preacher said, grace is God's grip on us. Faith is our grip on Him. Okay? When our kids were smaller, you know, and really young, and we'd take walks, and and we'd cross an intersection or something like that, you know, and we'd always be holding their hands, you know what I'm saying? And their little tiny hands would be holding on our hand, but I'll tell you what, my grip on their hand was stronger than their grip on my hand. Because if they were going to slip or something was going to happen, even if they tried to fall, I'd hold them right up. Amen? And see, that's grace. Grace is God's grip on us. That our faith is our grip on Him. Amen? Praise God. So we have to understand what the will of God is, first of all, by the Scripture. Then, secondly, we need to understand the specific will of God, and that's by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this because, you know, you can't find a Scripture that says, I'm supposed to marry this person, or I'm supposed to take this job, or I'm supposed to do this or do that, because there's no Scripture on that. So how do you ascertain whether or not it's the will of God for you to make certain decisions? Okay? Now, notice these two Scriptures right here. We looked at this. We need to confess what the Word of God says about us. Okay? Notice in John chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say, I'm His sheep, and I hear His voice. Okay? The John 10, it's right underneath it. It says, He putteth forth His own sheep, goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice. Notice that they know His voice. The stranger they will not follow, but will flee from Him, and they know not the voice of strangers. See, I like to say it like this. I'm His sheep. I'm His sheep. I hear His voice. Okay. What would happen if you got up every day and you knew God's voice? Do you think you'd ever have a boring day? Do you think you'd be like, oh man, just another day? No, because when you know His voice, when you know God's voice, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus said that. So we need to confess that. All right? Now let's talk about this for a minute here. We talked about different ways about the inward witness. Another way of saying this, the inward witness, is to follow after peace. To follow after peace. Someone said it like this to me years ago, and I got this because I could understand this, that, you know, you can't steer a parked car. How many of you know that? When I was in Bible school, you know, back in 82 and 83, there were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that we graduated with, you know, something like 800 or something like that. It was huge. But there are people that got out of Bible school, graduated with me, that to this day they're still sitting in Tulsa waiting for God to tell them what to do. Okay? Now, there might be some cases where God says, stay put and help this church here in Tulsa or whatever, you know. But people are waiting for this massive church to open up for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Waiting for this big ministry to get this phone call from a ministry to come and help. You know what I mean? Right. But here's the thing. You got to put your hand to the plow.
Right.
See, when I graduated from Bible school, I had a desire in my heart, a peace, to come back to my home church, to help in my home church. All right? Well, here's just one problem. I came back, graduated from Bible school, didn't have a job or anything. You know, I came back. You know, just got married, and, you know, you got to take care of some business, and I came back, you know, and, you know, bless these people's hearts that think you have to, nowadays, people think you have to have everything in the natural before you get married. Got to have 3 cars, a house paid for. Forget it. Forget it. You're missing half the journey right there. Amen. Praise God. When my wife and I got married, you know, everything we owned fit in a red Chevette. If you know how small those cars are. I mean, everything we had. But you know what? We had each other. We had our dreams. Amen? We had our vision on the inside of our heart. Oh, praise God. Had an ironing board. Had an iron. When we didn't really have anything. We really didn't. You know, but we had God, and that's all you need. When you have God, you're going to eventually get all the stuff.
Amen.
It's going to come. It may not come next week, but I'll tell you what, it will show up. It will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, what was I talking about? Anyway, yeah, when I graduated from Bible school, I was praying about this, and the Lord put it on our hearts to come back to our local church and help, where I was back in 83, all right? So I came back, and I talked to our pastor that was there at the time, you know, and met with him, and he asked me what was in my heart, and I said, well, tell the truth. I said, I really have a desire to help with the church here, you know, and he said, well, that's great, Pastor Keith. He said, because I wasn't a pastor then, but he said, there's one problem. He said, we're stacked. We're hired. We don't have the money, the resources to hire you, you know, and so forth and so on. And he goes, we're not planning on hiring anybody, you know. And my spirit started to sink. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? You ever not want to hear something? Because you think it's going to be a certain way. But as my emotions were starting to sink, but inside here, that's where the Holy Ghost lives. He says, Keith, he goes, you followed my inward witness. You trust me right now. You trust me. All right? So there are some voluntary positions open in the church. And I knew I was called to the ministry. And so I just did what I, you know, with home fellowships, whatever, tried to help out. Well, about 2 weeks later, after I met with him, I get a phone call from the pastor there. He said, Keith, we have a position open. I'm thinking, glory to God. I'll be preaching next week. You know, I'm thinking this. He goes, it is the custodian of the church. Now, if you saw the church, that has a whole new different slant to it. You know what I mean? Because they bought an old theater at the time. My parents know exactly what I'm talking about. And this was a movie theater for years. Before that, it was a beer distillery back in the 1800s. And, I mean, it was just an absolute mess. I mean, everywhere you looked, it was atrocious, you know. He says, we need a custodian. We need a janitor. Would you consider this position? Before I could think of it, I said, okay, I'll do it. Because you know what? They taught us at Bible school when I was there, you know, you have to be willing to scrub toilets. Okay? And if that's too good for you to do that, you're not even qualified for the ministry. Amen? And I knew that. And those words came right back up inside me. One of my instructors said, you have to be willing to scrub toilets if you're doing it for the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, I just got so excited about it. I'm telling you, I was just like, yes! I will scrub toilets for Jesus. I'm telling you where I came from. All right? You know, it's not some kind of job position you want to brag to your friends about. You know what I'm saying? Guess what I do? Let's talk about that some other day. But see, God was doing something. See, I'm going back to that inward witness, that peace that I had in my spirit. I was praying during that year, that last year of my Bible school. I said, okay, Lord, show me. You show me what you want me to do. Well, he put inward witness in my heart to go back. But when I came back, there was no position. There was no position available. So the temptation to get discouraged was really there. But yet my Lord and Savior inside my heart through the Holy Spirit, inward witness, said, trust me. See, a lot of times some people, they got the wrong motive. They're looking for a position. Right? And their motives are wrong. Their heart is wrong. I'm not talking about anybody in this church. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. Okay? So don't let the devil lie to you and say, he's talking about me right now. I'm not talking about you right now. Okay? Because I know how the devil can work sometimes. Okay? And I swear before God, I'm not talking about anybody in this church. Okay? All right? But getting back to that thing, and the Lord just, he said, I called you to come back here. He said, no, just trust me. Well, that was a long 2 weeks. That was tough, man. It was tough. You know? Because we got bills to pay. We got things to do here. You know what I mean? And so he asked me to be the custodian. Well, guess what? I did it with all my heart for 2 weeks. Say 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I was willing to do it for 2 months, 2 years, whatever it took. You know what I'm saying? In 2 weeks' time, after being hired as the custodian, they had a change in position and leadership. Now they asked me to be the youth pastor and the assistant pastor. I thought, boy, that didn't take too long. That was just 2 weeks right there. Okay? And there was a transition in the leadership. The head pastor ended up going to the mission field. And the youth pastor became the pastor, and he was as green as I was. I mean, he was new, you know. And we stayed there for about 9 months, something like that, and just worked where we could. But then something else happened. There was a church in Killeen, Texas, that we had visited when we were going to Bible school. Her brother, Lynn's brother, was in the military at Fort Hood, okay? In Killeen, Texas is, of course, right there, you know. We had gone down there and wanted to go to a church for the weekend, so we found a church that was from a graduate that we graduated from, you know, same Bible school and what have you. And it was a large church, big church, really powerful church called Grace Christian Center, okay? It's still there to this day. Well, we got to meet the pastor and everything, you know, and somehow, some way, the Lord showed us that we're going to be down there someday. But we're like, how's this ever going to work out? Okay? Well, when I was hired to be the youth pastor at this church, okay, I had a desire to be under a pastor that had more experience so that I can learn from. Because the guy that became the pastor had just as much experience as I did. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to be under someone that was more seasoned, you know. Well, the Lord had, through the inward witness, showed us that someday we're going to be down. Remember that, Lynn? That we're going to be down in Killeen, Texas. Well, to make a long story short, you know, see, some things you just have to let God do it. And trying to try not to be Holy Ghost Junior. Try to manipulate and control and force and, you know, try to be the Holy Spirit. Let God be God. Amen? He does a much better job of it. Well, we got a phone call one day from the pastor down there, and he said he was praying. And I, you know, and he, this pastor there, he has such a Texas accent, a southern accent. It's like I had to have him repeat everything he said. Now, please say that slowly, you know. But more was this man, this was a true man of God. I respected this guy. I'm telling you what, he had a precious anointing on his life, him and his wife. Well, long story short, they said, would you consider praying about coming down and hooking up with us? Okay? And he says, I can't guarantee you any position. I said, been there before, done that before. We've heard that before. This time we're traveling about 1,300 miles and no guarantee that we're going to have anything. Okay? So we jumped in the car, went down there, you know, and we knew it was God. And as soon as we got there, some things opened up for us. Okay? In construction, working on the church. They were building a physical church. All right? Now, I wasn't even planning on saying this morning, but I'm talking about following the inward witness. Because the inward witness, see, sometimes God will speak a word to us and we put a sentence to it. You know what I mean? The Bible talks about a word of wisdom, you know. Sometimes we'll get a word and then we try to make it come to pass in our own timing and everything. There are some things that God spoke to me that took years to come to pass. Years. Not months, years. Well, did God speak to you? Yeah, I believe He did. So we're just waiting on Him. The timing will be there. And there are things God's spoken to my heart, in my heart, that I have yet to walk in here. Okay? But guess what? We will. Amen. We will. Amen. See, we have to stay faithful to the call of God. We have to stay faithful. And sometimes, you know, because your flesh wants to be entertained a lot of times. You know, you want to come and you want to feel the goosebumps. You want to feel the emotions. You know, just like when you first meet someone, you're like, oh! You know what I'm saying? But how many of you know those feelings after a while, they're not necessarily there.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that you're not in love with that person. Okay? I don't get goosebumps every time I look at Lynn now. I used to. And vice versa. I'm sure she'll say amen to that too. Okay? But see, we're committed to each other. You know? And in July, this July, it'll be 30 years since we walked down the aisle together. 30 years. Glory to God. Went like that. You know? And, but see, a lot of times people, they get involved in a relationship or they get involved in a church or whatever, and the emotions aren't there anymore. Okay? Is that a sign that God's telling you to do something else? No. But there are people that do that. They live by the seat of their emotions. They live in the emotional realm. And if we live in the emotional realm, the devil can grab you by the nose and just pull you around. Okay? Because see, here's the challenge that we all have to deal with. The more you get to know someone, the more faults are exposed. Y'all come back now. You're here. See you later. All right. Isn't it true, though? The more that you get to know someone, when you first meet someone, all you see is their strong points. Amen. It's true. That's all you see. It's like, whoa, look at that, man. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's all you see. But then after a month, after 2 months, like, I didn't know they were like that. They disappoint. Now, we're not talking someone doing something crazy that's going to make you walk away. I'm just talking about human nature. You know what I mean? We all have a flesh, don't we? In the flesh, listen, none of us are perfect in the flesh. Sometimes we get irritable. Sometimes we do. Are you with me now? Sometimes, you know, we disappoint each other. Sometimes we disappoint ourselves. Like, doggone it, I could have done better than that, you know? You know what I'm saying? And what happens? What happens? Here's where a spirit of offense tries to come in. Spirit of offense. And the spirit of offense is spawned by the devil to cause a separation. Okay? A separation so that you walk away and you never really fully mature and grow into what God wants you to grow into. There were some tough times that Lynn and I went through, you know, in our marriage, just like everybody else has, some challenges and things like that. But you know what? It paid to stick it out. Amen? There, it paid to pray it through and believe God and come out stronger on the other side. Because every time, you know, if you just walk away from any type of resistance in your life, you know, we're in a church that preaches the Word of God. All right? And, you know, the devil's not going to just lay back, pull the covers over his head, and just sleep while you're serving God. He's going to try to stir up a smoke screen. He's going to try to cause some problems in your life to make you think this stuff doesn't work. This Bible doesn't work. Okay? To get you to where you become like offended, you know, by what the Word, because of the pressure and stuff that's going on. You know, God never promised that we wouldn't have tests and trials in this life, but He did say, I'll walk you through it. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. When the waters come, you'll not be flooded. Amen? So we have to buckle down and have a backbone. Brother Hagin used to tell us, you know, students and the body of Christ too. He said, we need to have the spiritual backbone of a crowbar, not a jellyfish. I can get that. Amen. A first grader could get that one. Wow, we're going over the place, aren't we? I lost my notes. Where we go here? Oh yeah, here we go. Okay. Follow after peace. Okay. This is another way of saying being led by the Spirit. Notice this. You'll go out with joy. And be led forth with what? Peace. Notice that. You'll be led forth with peace. Now, let's go to today real quickly because we're running out of time here. But peace, inward peace, is another way to say being led by the Spirit of God. Went the wrong way there. There we go. We're going to see this phrase here in just a couple of scriptures I want to show you right here. Say, it seemed good. Okay. Now, that doesn't sound like real spiritual. Now, the Lord revealed to me. An angel spoke to me. It just seemed good. All right. Luke wrote this, of course, and notice it says, even as they, it's Luke chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, it says, 2 through 4, even as they delivered unto us that which was from the beginning, were eyewitnesses of the ministers of the word. Notice this, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know certainly of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, King James gets a little funny there, but here's what I want to bring out right here is this, that Luke's gospel was written because of verse 3. It seemed good to me. It seemed good to me also. And so what did he do? He wrote the gospel of Luke. Well, Pastor. Huh? Oh. Notice it seemed good. Say, it seemed good.
Now,
it didn't say an angel appeared to him and said, Luke, I want you to write your gospel. Jesus didn't appear to him and say, Luke, I want you to write this. An angel didn't appear at breakfast at the table and say, Luke, I want you to write this gospel. What was the determining factor whether Luke was going to write the gospel of Luke? It seemed good. Remember that phrase I used, you can't steer a parked car? Okay, so you put your hands to the plow and you start moving, okay? Now, you may not have the big picture. You may not know exactly, specifically what God's telling you to do, but you get active. Like I put my hand to the plow of the custodial work, okay? Now, I knew my destination wasn't there. That wasn't the be-all and end-all that I was going to be there. But it was a process. The wheel, the car was moving. My life was moving. And I knew that I was on a destination trip. Now, if you wait for the Lord to show you the whole thing at once, you're going to be very disappointed, because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And we have to be able to take baby steps. We have to be able to take a little step with obedience and do what God tells us to do. See, why should God reveal, Lord showed me this, why should I tell you the next step unless you've done the last thing I told you to do? I'm like, ouch. Okay, Lord. It's those seemingly small things that obedience, like getting up in the morning, praying, being faithful to read the word, praying, right? Loving people, being kind to people, all right? Not taking shortcuts, thinking that's really not that important. I just want a ministry, bless God. I want to stand up and preach to thousands of people. I think that's one of the reasons God raised up Joyce Meyer. Because, you know, Joyce, she's so open and honest about how many have seen her through the years, you know. And Joyce, she would just be real open, and still is, about her motives. She wanted a big ministry, and she strained and strived and did everything she could to have a big ministry, you know. But until she was able to crucify that fleshly thing and just lay it at the feet of Jesus and do whatever, and the Lord spoke to her and said, are you willing to just go down by the river shore and feed the homeless? Are you willing to do that for the rest of your life? Some of you might have heard her say that. At first it was difficult. She said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that, okay? And she said that once she made that transition in the way that she thought, because, you know, you're down there on the riverbank feeding, you know, homeless people, there's no one sitting there clapping and looking at you and listening to you. It's just homeless people. But guess what? God sees it. God sees it. Huh? Well, as she proved faithful in the small areas of her life, now look at what kind of ministry she has. They tell us that, I've heard this, that she's got the largest traveling ministry. She's got the largest ministry in the world. In the world. You know, just a basic housewife. You know what I'm saying? And look at what God has done through that woman. I'm so glad that the Lord raised up Joyce Meyer.
Amen.
So many people have been helped through her ministry and still continue to do so. Well, getting back to this scripture, it seemed good. We're talking about the inward witness. Say, it seemed good. All right, let's go over to a couple of more scriptures here, real quick here. We're going to see this same phrase again. Now, I'm not going to look at all of them because of time this morning, but notice in the book of Acts, here's a couple of verses. Verse 25, 15:25 says, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So they made a decision to send some people based on it seemed good. Look at Acts 15:28. It says, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden that was necessary for things. So you see that phrase right there, right? It seemed good. It seemed good. Thank you, Lord. Every one of you here in this room have to locate your seamer. All right? It seemed good. All right? I've noticed this, that when the Lord's wanting you to do something, let's just say, case in point, say the Lord put it on your heart to do something for someone. All right? Now, anybody here, if we decided to do something, you could come up with a good idea right now to help somebody, right? You could, oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. Well, a good idea isn't always necessarily a God idea. There's a big difference. But I've noticed this, that when God puts a thought in your mind, and it will always line up with the Bible, of course, but when God puts a thought in your mind, and if you sit on it, that means day in, day out, 3 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 2 weeks go by, and it's still inside your heart, that's a good indication that God's talking to you. Because it just feels, the more you think about it, it's like a velvety-like feeling. You just, you know, that just seems really good. Now, here's the challenge that you're going to have is because your natural understanding will try to get involved with that and say, well, how's that going to work out? You know, that I see that. I can see myself doing that. But how is that going to work out? That's the same thing that happened to Mary when the angel appeared to her and said, hey, guess what? You're going to have a child. But it's not going to come through a man. And so she's like, all right, how's this going to be, seeing I know not a man? Remember that? She had a valid question. You know, how can you have a baby without a guy? Right? I mean, that's a good question. That's a really valid question. And he said, the angel said this, Gabriel said this, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and overshadow you. And that which is born of you will be from the Most High. Amen? Remember that? So questions will arise sometimes, you know, when you're, but here's what we have to get back to is it seemed good to us. Amen? Yeah, I had my faith out. I've had my faith out for unexpected increase. Last week, I was in the hallway out here, and I found $20. Amen? Well, I'm looking for seed to sow. And within 5 minutes, it was in someone else's hands. Amen? Well, I didn't work for it. It was there. It was laying in the hall. Right? Well, there was nobody around. I didn't see anybody. So I just picked it up. Glory to God. There's seed right there. Amen. You're never without seed. So it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. It seemed good. Thank you, Father. We'll close with this scripture right here. And if you go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. So we have this inward witness. We also call it a peace. All right? It's a peace of God that be led forth with peace. The other thing we looked at just a few minutes ago was it seemed good. It just seemed right. It seemed good. Thank you, Lord. Notice this phrase, I perceive. Say, I perceive.
I perceive.
Or perception. Okay, you know, here's what we're going to read here. I'm going to give you a little background on the situation. Remember, Paul the Apostle was arrested by the Roman government for preaching the gospel. He's being persecuted. And they're about to bring him to Rome on a ship to put him in prison. So he's actually a prisoner on board of this ship. And he's in chains, you know, and he's bound, you know, and for preaching the gospel. And they were getting ready to get on this boat, this big boat. And the weather conditions looked perfect. Everything looked really good from the natural. It looked like a day like today, you know, clear, sunny, you know. But notice in verse 9, that's Acts 27, verse 9, here's the Apostle Paul here. He says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only for the lading of the ship, but our lives also. And verse 11 says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Bad move. He had more faith in the captain's discernment than he did the preacher's discernment. And here's the Apostle Paul said this, I've got a perception something's wrong here. Now you can just imagine what they're probably thinking. They're thinking, oh, you're just trying to sidetrack. We're taking you prisoner. You're just trying to sidetrack it so you don't get the prison and all this kind of stuff. They're probably thinking that. But Paul was actually hearing from heaven. Now, Paul didn't have a vision. An angel didn't appear. No, later an angel appeared to him and told him that you're going to be safe. Okay? Now, here's what's really neat about this incident right here. Is that from the beginning, it all looked like it was okay. Everything was fine. We're getting ready to take this trip, you know. But he had a perception. He said, guys, listen, I perceive in verse 10 that this voyage, it'll be with hurt and much damage, not only for the cargo of the ship, but our very lives also. Well, they just kind of cast it aside, didn't believe in it. But you know what? Once they got out there, those words probably started coming back to them, haunting them. What the Apostle Paul said, he said, I perceive. Now, he didn't get real spiritual about it. The Lord spoke to me. An angel appeared to me. Amen. He says, I have a perception here that this isn't going to work out right here. You know, he wasn't trying to get away from those guys. He was willing to lay his life down, wasn't he? Paul was willing to lay his life down willingly for the gospel. So he had a willing heart. Well, as you read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said, you know, as he got out, they got out there in a big old hurricane. They even had a name for it like they do nowadays, you know. I can't remember the name of it, but the hurricane came of huge proportions. And they didn't have all the radar and stuff that we have now. They didn't have the Weather Channel to turn to. They couldn't plan it out 10 days from there to see where the jet stream was moving and all this kind of stuff, you know. I mean, they're walking by sight. They can only see as far as the eye can see. So they get out there. They get caught in the middle of this hurricane. I mean, it is disastrous. It looks like a total disaster. And Paul stood up in the midst of them. He said, you should have listened to me. Yeah, I guess we should have. But they're just, man, they're all hope that they should be saved was being every day. I mean, they were without food. It got to the point they had to throw the cargo over the ship just to lighten the ship. And that's all their food. They were fasting for many days. They didn't have anything because they're just trying to save their life. Well, Paul, in the midst of that storm, literal storm, literally, an angel appeared to him by night. And he told the angel, the Lord, this is after the inward witness, the angel appeared to him and said, he says, Paul, be of good cheer. Isn't that like the Lord? Here you are in the midst of this big old storm in your life. I mean, waves beating on your house. I mean, it might be a spiritual storm, something coming against you. Wham, bam, waves hitting you. And here comes the Lord. The angel says, be of good cheer. Now, what would we say? Be happy. Get happy. Say what? Now, if you're like me, I mean, you're like looking at the circumstance. You're like, you're telling me to be happy and all this stuff is like, oh, hell is busting loose on me right now. But see, God sees something that you don't see. Amen? So if you're going through something right now, any type of small trial, medium-sized trial, big trial, I'm telling you what, get happy. Get some joy in your life. Don't let that devil steal your joy. Amen? Some people get whipped when the red light stays longer than it should. They get whipped in their joy over something like that, you know. But let me tell you something. Paul, an angel appeared to him and said, be of good cheer. God always comes with a message of faith and cheer. Amen. And he says, you tell them to stay on ship. He goes, there's not one person going to perish. But he said, if someone jumps overboard trying to save themselves, they will lose their lives. And so the Lord, the angel instructed Paul. He says, you tell them all is going to be well. He says, be of good cheer. I believe God. That's what he said. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So here he is. He's out there. I mean, waves hit him. He's smiling. Paul's out there smiling. I'd love to have a painting of that. He's out there. He's smiling out there in the middle of this big old storm coming along because he already heard from heaven. He knows how it's going to turn out. See, when you know what the Word of God says, you know how it's going to turn out. You don't have to be all sourpuss and depressed and everything. You know, you don't have to jump down to that level. You can stay on top. You can stay victorious. You can have a smile on your face. So he told the guys, he said, look, here's what the angel of the Lord appeared to me. He says, be of good cheer. He says, it's all going to work out. He says, but you have to stay on board the ship. There's a message, there's a message in that too. You got to stay on board. A lot of people want to jump board when they want to jump ship when the pressure's on in your life. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Well, I had it better over there. No, you didn't. Hallelujah. So what happened? He became the leader of the ship. See, he was taken prisoner. Remember that. He's chained and everything. And he said, you guys should have listened to me. I told you what was going to happen. And they finally said, yeah, you know, you were right. You were right. Well, he became the captain of that ship. Well, remember the ship busted apart and there was an island there and every one of them survived. They swam to shore, you know, they were right there, you know. None of them jumped over shore. The boat just busted apart because it was hitting against rocks and stuff, you know. But think about that. The angel saved all those men. Okay? And they're the ones that were taking him captive. Well, they were on this island called Malta. And it still exists to this day. And, you know, this is going back a few years now, okay? Before they had, you know, vacation spots and all this kind of stuff, you know? And this is back in the day, I'm telling you, man. And they call them barbarous people. We're on the island, you know, and they're like barbarians basically, and they're on this island. And all of a sudden they see all these people coming up, you know, like, what in the world is this? So the people from the island came down to meet them. And here Paul, you know, he's been in the rain and the cold for 2 weeks, hadn't eaten for 2 weeks, you know, and he's over there gathering sticks up for a fire, you know, to get some warmth going here, get some food or something, you know. And he reaches into the stick pile, and he didn't see a viperous snake is inside there. Now, to make matters worse, the snake comes out and fastens itself on Paul's arm. This is what they call a two-step snake. That means two steps, you're dead, because the venom is so powerful. Well, the people of the island that lived there knew about this kind of snake because they saw it happen. They saw it latch onto him. But the Bible says, now it put his teeth inside of him. The venom was there. But the Bible says Paul just shook it off. And so the people of the island just stood around waiting for him to die. You know, those people like, they're just waiting for you to die. I told you this stuff doesn't work. Huh? Huh? All the naysayers. And what happened? Paul just shook it off and went about his business, you know. And then the people of the island realized, this guy must be a god because he didn't die. Now they're starting to worship him, literally. Okay? So they think, this guy has to be a god. This poisonous viper that we know has killed several people, this type of viper, didn't even faze the Apostle Paul. Well, that got their attention. Before you know it, they're bringing people from the island, sick and diseased, to Paul. And Paul is laying hands on people, and the healing power of God is going to work across that island. Now, how many of you know the devil wanted to destroy him, wipe him out? Now it turns into a big healing service. And the people from the chief people from the island are coming and being healed. You can read about it in Acts chapter 28. Isn't that amazing? Now, I said all that to say this in closing here today. This whole thing was an inward perception that some things are going to happen here. Okay? Amen? I started to say this last time I ministered, and then I didn't finish it. I was listening to the tape myself, and I thought, I didn't even finish that story, so I'll finish it right now. But years ago, we were going on a vacation, beach trip, with a friend of ours, actually, many, many years ago. And we were in this friend's car, Lynn and I, you know, this is back before we had any children. And we're heading down to Myrtle Beach area, you know. And as we were going down, we left in the middle of the night to drive through the night to save money, you know. And we're driving at like 2, 3 in the morning. We're down, I don't think it was in North Carolina where we were, wasn't it? And we're on an interstate somewhere down there. And all of a sudden, Lynn had a perception that there was danger up ahead. Okay? So she had a perception, didn't have a vision, nobody spoke to her, the Holy Ghost didn't say anything to her. She had a perception that something's not right. So what do you do in a situation like something's just not right? So we were trained and still do, yield to the Holy Ghost. Start praying in tongues right now. We started praying. And sure enough, there was a tanker truck that, you know, that has the gas, that hauls the gas, you know, thousands of, you know, gallons of gas, you know, that smashed into a, did we get off the road before that?
Yeah, we were able to get off, but we could see the flames.
Yeah, yeah. And but a tanker had run into one of the beams that hold up the highway that goes over top of the other highway, you know. And I'm telling you, you talk about a towering inferno. I mean, it was like the atom bomb just went off. You know what I'm saying? And we were able to get off the road and veer around that thing there. But this is probably a half an hour, 30 minutes before this that we even knew anything about this, you know. So we just started praying in the Spirit, praying. She had a perception, you know. So we just yielded to the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord dealt with it, get off the highway, okay. And when we came back a week later, you could see, I mean, that whole section of that bridge and the highway, it was completely blackened, you know, just totally blackened. Because the fire didn't melt the road, you know, the bridge, but we had a perception, okay? Seemed like a very subtle thing. And I'm going to just leave you with this today because we'll pick this up next week when we talk about this, because it's so important that we understand that the leadings of the Lord sometimes can seem so subtle, but they're very significant, okay? When I talked about that situation with when I avoided that wreck, a car wreck, you know, when I hesitated at a red light. Remember that? I told you that story. I mean, that was so, so subtle, but it saved my life because I hesitated and a car went right through the intersection, but I didn't get hit, okay? And the Holy Spirit, let's just pray for a minute here, okay? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Holy is the Lord. Jebre veka robo revi da sam rovi kolan ene de devro moshe. Ha 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 ha. Oh my goodness. Ma revi jebobo ma 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 shi. I'm going to just begin to read scriptures the Lord wants me to read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The Amplified says he refreshes and restores my life. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You're our shepherd. Hallelujah. You restore, you refresh and restore our lives even at this moment. Let's latch on to this with your spirit man. Not mentally try to analyze this. It's with the heart, with your heart, grab a hold of the word. He is refreshing and restoring lives this morning. He's refreshing and restoring and moving in your soul, in your emotions. Oh, thank you, Father, for that great refreshing, the great, great refreshing of the Lord. Masebre tosavako. Mahahahaha. We thank you, Father God. We lean not to our own understanding, but we lean upon the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. We lean on the anointing that's in us, Father God. Help us. Help us, Father God, to trust you with our hearts, to be more spirit-led and instead of being mental, always trying to reason things out, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. And in Matthew chapter 11, these scriptures are for you this morning. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, not your neighbor, amen, not your neighbor. He said, I will, amen, I will give you rest. Praise God. Not, you know, the television's not going to do it for you, amen. Who's going to give you the rest here? Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Hallelujah. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is hard and burdensome. And every day I want you to just barely get out of bed. No, it says here, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Whew, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. You're moving in a mighty way today. My goodness. The great thing about it is God will receive all the glory in these last days. Amen. Praise God, because God is going to get all the praise, all the glory, because we are nothing. We are nothing without the Lord. We are zippo zilch without the Lord Jesus Christ. But with God, we are somebody. He makes us somebody so we can be a blessing to other people. Amen? The last scripture I want to read to you is in 1 John chapter 2. Thank God for the anointing of God. Praise God. Masebro vuka. Oh, my goodness. Sombre kishto go ravane. And I just want to admonish everyone in this room. The past weekend, Gloria Copeland was on with Billy Brim. How many of you were able to watch, especially the past week? It was powerful. Go through and take notes. Listen to it more than one time. Because they were talking about how it's vitally important that we don't yield to fear. She talked about how she was delivered from a spirit of fear. She actually saw it leaving her body. It just flew off her. She saw it was this black thing just flew away from her. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is a sound mind? It means you've safe thoughts. You have good thoughts. You don't have, you know, evil foreboding thoughts. So God's not given us the spirit of fear, which torments you, that tries to torment you, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have strong, firm, safe, and stable thoughts. Let's say that. Say, I have strong, firm, safe, and stable thoughts. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost just has to get a few things out. So he'll go over here, then he'll go over here, because people are drawing on the anointing. When they draw on the anointing, it's because they have a need in their life. If you just come to church and just sit and can't wait till the service is over, then you're going to come in and you're going to leave the same way you came in. But I don't know about you, but I've been around the things of God for over 30 years now. And I come and I still will come and latch on and receive the anointing that I need from the pastor. Amen. Amen. It's just, and I'm so thankful. We all have stuff. We need the anointing to get us, you know, to help us get through life. Amen. We can't do it on our own. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20.
says here, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction. Yeah. Thank God for the unction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the unction, glory to God, quickening your spirit right now. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. The unction of the Holy Ghost. In verse 27, but you have the anointing, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need that not that any man teach you, but that the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth, and he is not a lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So you have that unction. You have that unction. You have the Holy Ghost anointing on the inside of you, and he wants to bring you up higher. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the holy anointing. Praise God. Moving in and out through each person today, Father God. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy is the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants to restore you this morning before you leave and go out the doors. How many of you here could use a refreshing? Thank you, Father God, for the power and of the Holy Spirit refreshing each person in this room. My goodness. Don't let those bad attitudes hold you back. Mm. Don't allow bitterness or disappointment to continue to keep beating you over the head. You're the only one that can choose life in that situation. You're the only one that can choose that I'm through. I've lived this whole life up to this point having a negative, whining, complaining attitude. Just stop it. Stop it. Stop it in the name of Jesus. You know, to be quite frank with you, you might be surprised, you know. Some people go through life rough if things are harder for them because they were never disciplined. They never got the spanking they needed. So they think, you know, everything's going to go their way. But, you know, these things aren't told out in the world. Bad attitudes, complaining, thinking the worst, and meditating on the worst that's going to happen in this situation and making plans for the worst that's going to happen. You make the plans. You know what I mean? What have you got if you don't make changes and choose life? Jesus, the word says in Deuteronomy, choose life. I set before you life and what? Death. Who's he say to choose?
Life.
Who's going to choose the life for you? Who's going to choose what life you're going to have? Who are you letting hold you back? Seriously, yeah. I've had to ask myself that at times. You know, there's times for us always that, yeah. You know, the enemy tries to get you to want to quit and to give up. And the Satan starts to weigh you down. And then you don't progress in the things of God. But who's going to choose? Who's going to make that decision? We've had to choose. We've been in the ministry 30 years. We've had to choose. Choose. We're not going to let things hold us back. And we're going to choose to go on, as Brother Dan was teaching, and walk in love. We're going to choose to believe the best of every person. You know, that's not always easy. Amen? It's not always easy. I appreciate what you shared by the Holy Spirit this morning. That was so powerful. It's so true. We're living in a day and an age where the flesh is entertained 24 hours a day. And Christians are losing their spiritual sense, their spiritual edge, and letting go of things that was once precious to them. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing more precious. And Brother Copeland even said, the things of this world are going to, you get that satisfaction, you have to keep finding more. But that satisfaction, it's never going to be there. The world's, the satisfaction you may have gotten from this or that in the world, that's going to fall by the wayside in the broshiketala, changes in the Holy Ghost, a new anointing in your life. Masebroko, Lisa. Ishe bekato, ha ha ha.
Thank you, Lord.
Ha ha ha. So bokare vishabakari shebeke revote shebrokota. Holy is the Lord, my sheep Ravana Kermasovoko, all that she needs, Father, from your presence. Hallelujah. Soba Christukola. Oh, my. Good things. He is nothing but good things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shekaravoshi Preshava Kroboshi Breshava Gadando. He has a fresh anointing for everyone in this room. Amen. We've all gotten to that place, amen, where we need a fresh anointing. We need God to touch our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, as we were just, as Lynn was just ministering there, the Spirit of the Lord just showed me something. You remember the situation with Paul we just read about on the ship, you know. That could have been a major disappointment, you know. I mean, here you are getting taken prisoner to Rome, and you get in this big ship, you know, and a storm comes up like that. And what the Lord was revealed to me as we were sitting there would apply to all of us here is that you might feel like you're on this ship and the devil has you captain and he's taken you and you've had, here's what I heard, disappointments in your life, okay? Even more recently, disappointments in your life. But here's what the Holy Spirit just said right now in regard to that. He said, if you keep your eyes on me and you serve me with all your heart, he says, I'll turn all those disappointments that you experienced, because I'll turn that thing around. And that's what happened to Paul. He ended up being the leader of that ship, and people got saved as a result of that. Well, that's not what the devil intended. The devil wanted to take him to prison. He ended up being the leader of that island. People got healed by the power of God because he kept the right attitude. He kept the right attitude. So if you'll keep, don't let your kids disappoint you. Don't let your job or lack thereof disappoint you. Don't let money disappoint you. Don't let past failures discourage you. But keep your eyes on Christ. I'm telling you what, because we've all had disappointments, you know. But if you keep your eyes on Him, He will turn this thing around. You'll come out shining. Amen. Amen.
You know, a big thing Satan will use is he'll use your mate. If you get your eyes on your mate so much for them to meet your need, make you happy, you're in for a rude awakening. There is no marriage on this earth that doesn't have to work things out. If you're thinking you're going to get married and your problems are going to be all over, you got another thing coming to you. No, honest to goodness, we have got to get our eyes, even in marriage, on the Lord, because your mate will disappoint you in life. Amen. It's the truth. They're not Jesus, and they are human, and they will disappoint because you think they should do this or they should do that or they shouldn't do this, and then Satan's got, there again. He's setting you up for a fall, you know, in marriage. Marriage is a commitment. Once the feelings, hey, the feelings leave everybody. I don't care, you know. You know what I'm talking about. That there comes that point in every marriage where, hey, you know, you're going to stick it out. You're going to commit to one another and put the Lord. That's why a marriage will last, is if Jesus is Lord of the marriage. Amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. God will take these disappointments and remove them, lift them. I believe He's lifting them. You might not even feel it right now, but as they went, they were healed. As you go, glory to God, you will be whole. I prophesy it. Wholeness in the homes. Wholeness in the families. Glory to God. So, Father, we commit ourselves to You today. We plead the blood of the Lamb over every man and woman in this room right now, in children's church and nursery, Father God. We apply the blood of the Lamb. We draw a bloodline over our families, over our mates, over all of our family in the name of Jesus. And as we go, we bless You. Yes, and I thank You for blessing their week, sending them on a high place, Father God, causing them to walk in the high places, no more in the low places, Father God. I thank You for making them like rocks inside. The rock of ages lives in them. The rock of ages is dwelling in them, Father. And we thank You for what You're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we stand up together? Praise God. Thank You for sharing that, honey, from your heart. Thank you. Aren't you glad we have a pastor's wife that listens to the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Lord. We're going to go ahead and dismiss, and you have a very, very blessed